Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face to face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder to shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. Your marriage changes for the better when you see it through a new pair of glasses, right?
That's right.
You agree with that, right, Tor?
Agree.
We even have a chapter in our book, chapter number 2. It's called A New Pair of Glasses. Listen to this quote. If you want small changes in your life, work on your attitude. But if you want lasting and primary changes, work on your paradigm. That's Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. We're going to dive into that, but you know, I don't want to steal your thunder because I know you really like the whole joke
thing. I do like the jokes.
So do you want me to give you your drum roll?
Drum roll, drum please. Okay. A couple was married for 45 years and together they raised 11 children. When they asked the secret to their relationship, the wife replied, many years ago, we made a promise to each other. The first one to pack up and leave has to take the kids.
What?
Nobody's going to leave.
Oh, okay. Got it. Sorry.
Okay, oh, but you man, know what? Another epic fail.
No. Remember, these aren't your jokes. You've curated them.
Okay.
Let's just maybe.
My goal is to get you to laugh.
Oh, got it. Okay. Do you have another one?
Yes.
Okay.
My parents told me I was rude for yawning when we were our partner, not parent. Sorry.
What?
I said it wrong.
My parents? Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
Go ahead. Try
number
it
two. Joke number two.
Okay.
Okay. My partner told me I was rude for yawning when we were arguing. I told him I wasn't yawning. I thought it was my turn to speak.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not funny, but true.
That's me.
Okay. Yeah.
Waiting for.
Are we doing two or are we going to do three?
Okay. One more. Okay. I asked my wife which she liked better, my face or my body. She said, your sense of humor.
That one hurt. You know,
it's not. This isn't about you.
Ooh, shots fired.
Okay, we're gonna do better next time.
No,
we're
these were good. These were good. I mean, maybe not my favorite, but they were good. You know.
So, okay, knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting.
Boo. Got him to laugh.
Okay, there you go.
All right, you're laughing. Thank we're you. Good.
Okay,
we can start.
We got it. All right, now we're talking about Tor, and you need to. You need to help me on this one because we're talking about seeing your marriage differently. My dad always used this quote. That,
can I say it?
Yeah.
How you see the battle determines how you fight it.
Boom. What does that mean?
You tell me.
Come on. That was a softball.
How you see it determines, it's very self-explanatory. How you see it determines how you fight it. You have to see it for what it is.
Yeah.
You'll fight the wrong battle if you don't see it the right way.
Yeah. So what way are we supposed to see it? We're supposed to see it as a spiritual battle. There is a spiritual battle. We talked about this several episodes ago, how that battle, it manifested itself in heaven. Satan got kicked out of heaven. You know, he was Lucifer. He was cast down to the earth. And then God put Adam in the same place where he just banished Satan on earth. So there, it was God created Adam and then he created marriage when he designed Eve from Adam's body. And then they come together, right? There was a wedding crasher there. They come together in marriage, they get married, they end up having sex, right? And Satan is watching this whole thing. He's watching it and he's like, what? You know, I didn't see this coming. And so now God gives Adam this charge of being in authority over the earth, and Satan wants that authority. So it's the context of battle. And when you know that, if Adam and Eve knew that, I believe it would have helped them.
Oh,
but I do believe that God wasn't holding out on them because he gave them boundaries. And by him giving them boundaries, like, hey, don't eat this. It says there's something that you need to pay attention to and you don't need to go outside that boundary. You know, God's blessings are found inside of God's boundaries. And if we erase those boundaries, the blessings are replaced with burdens. That's why the whole cultural context that's coming against truth, like marriage, you can marry whoever you want to marry. Like polyamory is a thing now. Isn't that crazy? Where you can marry like multiple spouses.
Yeah.
Girl or guy or whatever. You had somebody, I forget which country it was, that wanted to marry their computer. Another dude wanted to marry his freaking goat. Are you kidding me? Like, this is crazy.
I don't even have words
for that. Yeah. But when you erase the boundaries, all of a sudden burdens just come flooding in. So God gave Adam and Eve these boundaries, and Satan attacked and he split them up. And we're going to share with you on one of our episodes the three-step plan of attack that Satan had and the three-step plan of counterattack that we can have to win that battle. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about just seeing the fact that we are in a spiritual fight, that we're in a spiritual war, and your relationship was made to fight that battle. And by entering that spiritual battle together, fighting together will draw you together.
Right.
Because you see it that way.
Right.
That's what we want more than anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. That is so true. You know, I was reading Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and Stephen Covey told this great story of, it was a Sunday, and he was busy. He got on a subway car in New York City, and the subway car's taken off. He's reading the Wall Street Journal, and next stop, this dad gets on with his kids, and he's wearing a sweatsuit or whatever. His kids are all disheveled, you know, and they sit down, and then the car takes off, and now these kids are really acting up and misbehaving. A couple stops later, Stephen Covey's like getting really upset, and he says, he looks over at the man. He's like, you know, don't think you could probably get control of your kids, could you? They're kind of bothering people. And the man looked up, this dad looked up, he had tears in his eyes. And he said, man, I'm sorry. We're just coming from the hospital where their mom died. And I guess they're a little out of sorts, and I am too.
Gosh.
But in that moment, everything changed for Covey. He was no longer an agitated businessman who was reading the Wall Street Journal. He was an empathizing father.
Yeah.
You know, and husband.
Suddenly he saw everything different in a moment.
Everything changed. Yeah. And so that's what Tori and I want more than anything for you, is for you to see your spouse as an ally.
Yeah.
And not an enemy.
Right.
Why? Because you are in a spiritual fight. It is very real.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6 tells us that. The struggle that we're having is a spiritual struggle, and we have to win with spiritual weapons. But you know what? It's not just how you see the battle determines how you fight it. It's how you see yourself determines how you behave yourself.
Wow.
You got to know who you are.
Yeah.
This takes time to learn. Like, I remember when you and I were married, Tor. You remember this? When we were married for probably 3 months, and you had made this really nice candlelight dinner for me after work at when we both worked at the yes. Enjoy Group, John Maxwell.
Yep.
So, gang, Tori, we were working at the same office, and she had this idea to make this really nice dinner for me, but she didn't tell me that. She just said, hey, I'm making dinner, but I didn't know it was like a candlelight dinner or anything. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to stay and I'm going to work out afterwards, so I'll meet you at home. She said, okay. And I'm working out with my buddy named Tom. Tom played football at LSU. He challenged me to a 2-mile run, and I'm like, what? I could totally dominate you. He's like 10 years older than me, and he kicked my butt. But I did run that 2 miles in like 12 minutes, but I don't ever want to do that again.
Who's it counting?
Was awful. Yeah, but you know, yeah. I feel like the Apostle John when he hit the gospel, and he's like, we found out that Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore, so me and Peter ended up running, and I got to the tomb first. But then Peter walked in first. It's like, good job, John. We know that you're faster than he is.
That is a 6-minute mile twice.
Twice.
Wow.
Back to back, ladies and gents.
No, thank you.
So I remember sitting there after I, you know, coughed up a lung. I'm sitting there stretching with Tom afterwards. I said, dude, what you doing for dinner? He said, no, I'm going to go grab something quick. I said, come over and eat with us. Tori's making dinner. He's like, what? No, I probably shouldn't do that. And Tom was married, already had kids. But they were out of town. And so I knew that Tom was by himself. And so I said, yeah, Tori will be fine. He's like, are you sure? You know, like I didn't get the hint. I said, yeah, no problem. So then I walked up the stairs in our apartment and I opened the door and I saw that you had this special, you had everything out. I mean, it was awesome. You're like, honey, I made your favorite. I think it was chicken cordon bleu.
Yep.
It was so good. And you had candle on, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm the biggest idiot of all. And I said, honey, I'm so sorry, but I invited Tom. And I knew I just crushed you right then and there. You ran to our room and you were a powerful spouse in that moment because you did such a good job with Tom.
Yeah. I had to fake it.
You, me, and Tom.
That I was just totally fine.
For the next hour and a half, me, Tori, and Tom enjoyed a candlelight dinner in our apartment. And then when he left, I was like, I'm in such big trouble. And you were gracious with me. And I remember you saying, it's not that I wouldn't want Tom to come over for dinner. I would love to have Tom over for dinner. But you've got to talk with me about this first. And my problem was, is that I had a brand new identity.
Right.
That I was still operating like a single man, mm-hmm. although my identity was a married man.
Right.
And I saw myself as single, and therefore I was acting single. Mm-hmm. How you see yourself determines how you behave yourself. So when you get married, you gain a brand new identity. You're no longer that single person you used to be. You've got to start operating as a married person. Mm. And I didn't know that then. But how you see yourself determines how you behave yourself. And the reverse is true. And that's why I say it's the reverse. It's how you see your marriage determines how you treat your marriage.
Yeah.
And how you see your marriage determines how you treat your spouse. So we've got to see each other for who God made them to be. Mm. And you've got to see yourself for who God made you to be. And you've got to see your relationship for how God made it. You've got to see it differently.
Right.
That's what we want you to see more than anything.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say to that?
No, just I think the whole Beauty and Battle book that we just wrote touches on this the whole way through. It's like, it's a paradigm shift. Mm. It's a different way of looking at things. And when we started to see the spiritual war that we were in, we knew that we had to make changes.
Yeah.
We needed to strategize and we need to think differently.
Yeah.
And the things that were came so natural to think, we were going to have to work at.
Mm.
You know, you come into marriage with so many mindsets, expectations and mindsets, and some good and some bad. For us, this was the most important thing for us to learn in our marriage was to see the battle for what it really was, to see what was happening spiritually. I love in the Bible that it starts with marriage in Genesis and then it ends with a marriage in Revelation.
Yeah.
Because it just shows you how much God values marriage.
Oh, yeah.
That he would use it at the beginning and the end.
That's exactly right.
And I think when you really begin to see marriage for what it is and the value that it brings, then we really don't have any other option but to take it seriously, right? Like, I think for you and I, it's like, wait a minute, we can see the attack on marriage and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we can certainly, I mean, gosh, the fact that you actually even said that these words came out of your mouth. Yeah, I saw that there was a guy who's trying to marry his computer. What?
Yeah.
Like, if you can't see that we're in a spiritual war, that's like so unbelievably unnatural and bizarre that you can't help but see that we're in a spiritual war.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, this is beyond reasonable.
Yeah.
And so I think when you recognize that and you begin to see the battle for what it really is, only then can you start to strategize.
Yeah.
In a way that you can win. And we talked about this with, you know, in CrossFit, how we learned this in CrossFit.
Oh, yeah.
That if we're going to win, then it changes the way that you do everything.
Yeah. And that's why I also, and we've talked about this before, about gratitude mm-hmm. and appreciation, that when you see your spouse through the eyes of gratitude, it really changes the way that you treat them.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know what? She's awesome. Like, she's always taking care of us as a family. Like, she, you know, for you, you're always going to pick Lundy up. You're always making great lunches every morning at 6:30 or 6:45, whatever time. You're strolling into the kitchen and you're making Jake his original 2-egg omelet sandwich or whatever the heck that thing is that you make. And then making lunches for the kids. But to stop and to think, dang, that's awesome that you're doing that. It's helping me to see you differently. And then the reverse, the way that you see me.
Yeah.
And then the way that you see your relationship. There's this couple that was in our church when I was growing up in Dallas, Texas. Dad was the pastor and her name was Janelle Luttrell.
Mm.
Wayne and Janelle Luttrell. They were like the third or fourth family at our little church there in Dallas. And one year for Dad's birthday, she got him a picture. And the picture was nothing but a bunch of dots. And most of you have seen these things. They're called 3D random dot stereograms, where it's like an 8x10 or an 11x14 picture, and it's just a bunch of dots. And if you look at it long enough and then you allow your eyes to relax, there's a 3D picture that will jump out of those dots. But it takes a long time to see it.
I remember those.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
You know what? I don't think I've ever seen one. Like, I don't think I've ever seen the picture behind one.
Really?
Yeah, but this analogy is amazing.
You kind of have to like cross your eyes.
Ooh.
You have to like just gaze.
Yeah, just relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. So dad got this picture and she gave it to him and she said, do you see the picture? And he's like, no, what is it? She said, I'm not going to tell you, but when you see it, you'll never unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
And every week for like 3 weeks, she'd say, Pastor Flip, did you see it?
Mm.
He's like, no, Janelle, I didn't. And then I think after the third or fourth Sunday, dad was like, I'm not going to go to church and tell her I didn't see it. So he just sat in his office and he just looked at it. And he said, then after several minutes, he just relaxed his eyes and all of a sudden, bam, out of the middle of nowhere, there was the cross of Calvary. Mm. You know, it had the two thieves on one side and they had the cross in the middle. And he said it hit him like a ton of bricks, like this 3D picture just jumped out of those dots. And he said after that, every time he looked at that picture, he didn't even have to try. He just saw it.
Yeah.
He just saw it differently. But it took him sitting down and seeing it with a new pair of eyes, you know, to put a new lens on and just relax into it. And that's what we want for marriages.
Right.
For you to look and see your spouse the way God wants you to see your spouse.
Yeah. See your spouse as your greatest ally.
Yeah.
As somebody who can fight alongside of you. You don't have to fight this thing face to face. That's what the enemy wants. Pivot and fight shoulder to shoulder. And when you start doing that, you start to see just the power of your relationship.
Yeah.
You know, just like what you said, what was the analogy you used about the horses?
Oh, yeah, the horses at the Calgary Stampede.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get you to share these stories.
Yeah.
Because I like the story stuff, but the horse pool competition at the Calgary Stampede, I forget which year it was, but they did this competition where they got these horses and the horse owners would bring their horses together. They would see which horse was the strongest and they would pull these heavy loads. And the first place horse pulled 8,000 pounds. I mean, that's crazy heavy. He pulled 8,000 pounds. Then the second place horse pulled 7,000 pounds. So that's 15,000 pounds together. So the owners decided to get together because they wanted to see these horses pull 15,000 pounds together. Yeah. So they hitched them up together and they didn't just pull 15,000, they pulled 30,000 pounds.
Mm.
That's called synergy in my business, Expert Ownership. And if you ever got a question about that, go to expertownership.com. But in my business, where we train kingdom-minded entrepreneurs, we launch them into greater freedom and success. We talk about synergy being better than energy.
Yeah.
Energy is releasing power to accomplish something. Synergy is exponential power because we've linked up with other people.
Mm.
And so these horses can expend energy, one of them at 8,000 pounds, one of them at 7. You put them both together and they're double.
Right.
Right? So it reminds me of that scripture that says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000.
Yeah.
So if you want to 10x your effort, stop acting independently of your spouse.
Right.
Like husband, you're running a business or you're working in a job or you're coaching a team or whatever. Include your wife, even if it's something as simple as, hey, honey, what would you do with this kid who brought me this problem?
Yeah.
Or honey, what would you do about this person who applied for a job?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you have to pull your spouse into the thing, but it does mean that you have to bring them into some of the key pivotal decision-making points. And when you do that, you become far more powerful.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think that that is our passion for marriage is like, you got to see it. You got to see it for what it is because it's really, really powerful, guys. Like what you guys are together is so much stronger than what you are apart.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in these face-to-face battles when you can be warring shoulder to shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
It's a really, really powerful place to be. But you have to see it for what it is. You have to have vision. In our book, we talk about like, you have to have a vision. You have to have a picture in your mind what you want for your marriage, recognizing the power you have together, right?
Yeah.
And then you need that picture to be somewhere where you can look at it often.
All right.
Right? Like like when you're putting together a puzzle, what do you typically do before you start the puzzle?
You're looking at the lid on the box.
You look at the picture. It's like in our marriage, we need that. Like, what is the vision? What is the picture you have? You need to keep looking at that so that you can fight towards that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. Were you done?
That was it.
That was so
I got
good.
Nothing.
I got nothing left. It's all done. Yes. Fighting together draws you together. We are in a fight. We're in a spiritual war. And when you see it that way, everything is going to change for you.
Right.
So, good job, Tor. Maybe I should have you tell all the stories next time. But listen, your jokes are off the chain. They're getting better.
There is more where that came from.
They're getting
more jokes to come.
They are getting better. Okay. Well, I love you.
I love you too.